got something to say to Paul?
Paul Gallant, what the hell is wrong with you?
I want to hear from you. Negative about this person, negative about that person. Come on, dude.
Join the conversation by dialing or texting the HRNP listener line. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Paul Gallant.
3-2 pitch. In the air, deep left center field, hit well. Rodriguez on the run, and it is gone! Oh, Jeremy Peña sends one to the seats.
I mean, thank God, right? Wasn't it a sigh of relief that everyone had when that game mercifully came to an end? And look, we're all rooting for the Astros here. We're all excited that they won. But the road that we went down to get there, I'm not going to lie, especially on a college football Saturday, it was a tad frustrating. No, can we really say that that was a good game? I was thinking to myself this whole time, you know what? This game's going to work out perfectly because it's going to be done and we can switch over to the Tennessee-Alabama game and watch the very end of it. And then next thing we knew, like hours had passed by and the Alabama-Tennessee game had been over for a really long period of time. That game just dragged. And I think some people are going to say to me in response to whether or not that was a good game, Paul, I mean, that's an 18-inning game. It's historic. It's going to be remembered forever. Is it going to be remembered for the right reasons, though? I think Game 5 of the 2017 World Series is the best baseball game we will ever see between the Astros and Dodgers. It was back and forth. It was seesaw. It was high scoring. And I'm not saying a game needs to be high scoring. I just think that a pitcher's duel stops becoming as interesting when every single pitcher is doing the exact same thing. That was my big issue with Saturday night. It wasn't like it was one special performance by Lance McCullers and George Kirby on the other side of things. It was all the pitchers did well. So I started thinking, hey, what could the cause be? And with all the haze that was out there, with the weird shadows that they have at T-Mobile Park, there's a bunch of different factors that I think added up to it not being the most ideal situation for a baseball game. Some people were saying, hey, well, you close the roof, maybe things would have been better. But T-Mobile Park's not set up like that. There was no way that the smoke was going to be gone. T-Mobile Park isn't like Minute Maid Park, where Minute Maid, you got the glass walls, and you actually are indoors. T-Mobile just has a roof. And when it rains, they bring the roof out so that it's not falling on top of you. That wasn't going to keep any of the smoke out, though. When wildfires happen in the West Coast, it's just hovering in the air like that. It sucks. It's like every single September and October. When I was there, 33% of places have air conditioning in Seattle. I actually bought an air conditioning unit because we had a 10-day period where there was just smoke in the air, and it was like 96 every single day. It was miserable. And like the only way you could get any ventilation was to open up your window. Awful. Just absolutely awful.
Sounds like Seattle pulled out all the stops to stop the Astros, and
they did.
Failed.
They did.
They tried to burn our eyes with smoke.
What is happening? What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. In a liberal America under Joe Biden, a man obsessed with climate control, where was Seattle to control their own climate? It's a question many people are wondering. Yeah, that part of it sucked. And I think it affected the game. And I know that there is a strong argument to be made that that was a great baseball game. I'm just not going to make it. I'm not. I won't go so far as to say that it sucked. But if the Astros lost, it would have sucked. If the Astros lost that after 18 innings, and then we're going to say to ourselves, oh, so now we got to watch a game on Sunday after all of that. Sorry, there was two baseball games. I had enough baseball on Saturday night. Eventually, I was like, all right, fine. I went out to a bar, and I watched the end of the Guardians game against the Indians, the comeback that they had. And I watched also the Dodgers go down to the Padres, and I was excited about that. But it took me a while to get back into even wanting to watch baseball. Like, I basically said to myself after the game was done, I think I'm baseballed out for this Saturday.
I think around inning 15, for me at least, maybe not literally, but for me, it turned into a must-win game for the Astros just because it's like, I can't do this again. Like, I need the 3 days off between series or 4 days off between series because I can't. Never mind the bullpens and then who do you pitch in game four? I just need this to be over with. I like you, I was baseballed out after 6 hours and 20 minutes of it. Of also, like you mentioned, it's one thing to be a pitcher's duel. It's one thing when literally every pitcher in both bullpens, other than Robbie Ray,
No one sucked. Everyone was good. Seriously. I mean, 36 frames, 18 hits total. Just one run. 42 total strikeouts. Like, everyone looked like a Cy Young Award winner out there. Anyway. That's Sean Mace behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. This is the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in too. As far as credit goes for the Astros' victory on Saturday, who deserves the most credit? Jeremy Payne is up there, but he's only fourth on my list. I'll give you my list next right here. Again, it's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Text in 713-780-3776 for calling at that same number on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can also join us on the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. That way, you can watch the show and join in on our awful and meandering Twitch chat, which at this point in time, I believe, has been talking about some of the policies of the old West Coast, of which I disagree with many. A comment on the text line. Any chance baseball put in a juiced ball towards the end of the Astros game? I mean, we all hope that they did.
How great would it be if MLB just had like one like golden case in every in every baseball
just in case, yeah.
They're just like, hey, if it gets to the 16th inning and no one scored, bust out the juice balls.
It is pretty nuts, Sean, that in baseball history, every single playoff game has never gone past 18 innings. Like it's just been 18 and then it's ended and a home run happens there. So if you are a conspiracy theorist, maybe you got a tinfoil hat somewhere out there. I'm sure you could find a way to make the strong argument that baseball was like, you know what, this game's going on too long. Poor TBS losing out on all of those innings of Yankees baseball. TNT was probably like, hell yeah. I'm still frustrated, by the way, that this series is on TBS and TNT. First off, because Fubo TV, which I'm paying like $100 a month for, doesn't have it. But second, at least the Astros did not have Bob Costas on the call. That guy puts you to sleep. I can't believe there are people that put that guy in such high esteem. What is he good at? Lecturing? Like, what is Bob Costas good at? I thought he was this like phenomenal play-by-play guy. That's what I'm told as someone who went to Syracuse University. You're supposed to worship the ground that Bob Costas works on, walks on. I don't get it. He was zero energy on that broadcast. And the music that they were playing to come in and out of commercial breaks last night, too, was all this like softcore stuff. No, not that kind of softcore, because that at least would be a little bit lively. You know, you got a little saxophone in the background or something like that. This was just dead energy. It's the bleeping playoffs. It's playoff baseball. It's honestly, you can make an argument hockey playoffs are better, but as far as like moments mattering, that's as good as it gets. And Bob was practically asleep there. Ugh. Yeah, that was not fun. I didn't enjoy that part. Okay, here are my credit power rankings for Saturday night's 1-0 victory in 18 innings. Number 4, Jeremy Peña. Now, if you want to look at the series in totality, I think that Peña's done the most important things over the course of it. He did a great job of setting the table for the eventual walk-off home run in Game 1. Game 2, he set the table a couple of times, first for Yordan's home run, then for Alex Bregman's RBI single, and he gets the home run on Saturday. It was a nice performance. But third place, I'm going to give these guys more credit, even though they weren't able to produce. The 4 through 6 hitters in Saturday's game did a damn good job. Alex Bregman, who also fielded 4 groundouts and is the most reliable defensive player on this team, along with Kyle Tucker and Yuli Gurriel. Those were the only three guys that produced. I think they had 8 hits combined between the three of them. And it's a shame that they were never able to all make it happen back to back to back, because this game might have ended a little bit earlier. Number two, and I'm giving this to Luis Garcia because of some extenuating circumstances for the guy who finishes first. But Luis Garcia had not pitched in this postseason. In fact, Luis Garcia hadn't pitched in a while. And they said to themselves, you know what? Shoot, we don't really have anybody left, so let's put him in. That was his first appearance since October 2nd. I mean, we're talking 2 weeks between appearances for him. Justin Verlander obviously has had some issues where his routine is slightly altered. Luis Garcia did not pitch in a game for 2 weeks, comes in, 5 innings, 6 strikeouts, 0 walks, and just 2 hits allowed over that 5-inning stretch. He was fantastic. And he gets the second most credit for Saturday night. But the first most has to go to Lance McCullers. And look, there are some extenuating circumstances for whatever reason in this ballpark that I think led to just the complete lack of offensive production. I think some of it had to do with the fact that there's smoke in the air. I also think that the shade, the shadows were making things a bit difficult for batters to pick things up. But McCullers, per Dusty Baker, and we do have this clip, was actually sick and might not have started on Saturday, but he was able to get it together and actually get out on the hill.
You know, we didn't even know Lance was going to pitch because he had been sick. And so, you know, he worked on himself. Our fitness staff worked on him. And, you know, I'd have had to fight him, you know, for him not to pitch, because he loves to pitch. He loves to pitch in these kind of games and these scenarios.
So I know that some maybe roll their eyes when Lance McCullers is dealing with something just based off of the amount of times that we heard him talk about what he was trying to come back from over the course of this year. And you're like, all right, well, when you're going to be back? Okay, when you're going to be back? And then eventually you realize, oh, maybe they don't actually need him back at this point in time. But considering he does not pitch particularly well on the road, you probably thought to yourself, this does have a chance of perhaps getting a little bit dicey. But McCullers has been, I think, remarkably efficient since his return. And if you take a look, since he came back on August 13th, the only game where you felt like he got roughed up was against the Atlanta Braves, where he only lasted 5 innings and he allowed 7 hits. But otherwise, model of consistency, which is great to see for a guy coming back from injury. And a guy who I think has had issues to the point where you're not always expecting him to make it into the 6th inning, let alone, you know, pitch all the way through the 6th inning. It is a feel thing with Lance McCullers, and with extenuating circumstances like the smoke and, you know, the weather changing up and all sorts of different stuff that you might have had at T-Mobile Park. I thought that all of those factors considered, I think he's the guy that deserves the most credit for what happened on Saturday night. But you might have a different thought. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. You can text in too. You can tweet us at Gallant Says at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass. Someone's sending me an about the TV networks. Well, I'm sure there's some competition between TNT and TBS. I get it. They're both under the Turner umbrella. We don't need to do the well actually there, do we?
Also, they clearly Turner put it on TBS, puts all these games on TBS for a reason.
They're trying to
build. They want it on TBS.
Yes, because they want TBS to get numbers that it doesn't.
And then they want to show Star Wars movies on TNT.
Yeah. TNT, it's the better channel. No, I mean, it's the cooler channel. And they're putting baseball on TBS because they're trying to get TBS on the same level as TNT. But no, TNT, they got the movies. Although I think that's the FX slogan. You could also join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. We were having a very interesting conversation about the Jazz, Seattle, etc. We might have to do a Mariners watch too before the end. I forgot. We do have to have a series finale for Mariners watch at some point on today's show. This is something else, though, with where the Astros find themselves right now. I am a bit surprised that they are, of all of the teams going into this postseason that you thought they're going to have to deal with eventually. Like, they're the only one that might be left after tonight. I mean, for all we know, the Yankees could be done. Dave is on the line, 713-780-3776. Dave, what's going on? You're on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston.
Hey, how we doing? Let's go, Astros. Man, I'm going to have to go with Pena on this one, man. He's the guy just is a clutch player, man. And he just comes up. I really couldn't understand how the Astros were swinging at so many outside pitches. And you're like just waiting for this one pitch, this one hit. But Pena came through, man. I'm going to go with Pena on this.
As far as guys who deserve the most credit for Saturday's game, and appreciate that insight, I don't hate it. I mean, did you think that Pena would be the one to win the game? If I were doing a power rankings of guys who would actually take care of business, even on Saturday, one would have been Yordan. Sean, as you said, it would have been really hilarious had they brought in Robbie Ray.
Yeah, Robbie Ray versus Yordan, whatever, the sequel would have been great.
Yes.
But I'll take Murphy with two E's.
Yes. Yeah. You'll do that. It's fine. Two, Bregman. Three, the way things were going, probably Yuli. Four, Kyle Tucker.
See, I would have thought Altuve's up there because it's one of those, he looks so lost, and then he connects on one. And we've just seen it a lot from Altuve.
That he would bounce back. I'm not going to lie. The vibes in the room that I was watching the game, the people I was watching that game with were talking a lot of trash about Altuve. And I'm like, well, I can't really defend him. But I'm sort of like, this is a little much, isn't it? Isn't it a little bit much? That at-bat he had in the ninth inning, though. Jesus, that was awful. That was so bad. I when I saw that, I was like, oh, my God. Like, he might need therapy. But to his credit, like, the last three at-bats were better. I mean, the last two were one-pitch at-bats. But there was an at-bat, I want to say, was it the 11th, was it the 12th? It all sort of blends together, where he was fouling the ball off. I thought he was seeing it well, but he still ended up striking out with that at-bat. But I think I would have had Altuve ahead of Pena as far as guys that I was expecting something from, but he would have been pretty close to Pena with how poorly he played. So like, Pena, of all the guys that I was expecting to be clutch for you, was like probably like fifth or sixth.
But now going forward with how clutch Pena's been, I feel like, you know, the next time we're in maybe not a situation exactly like Saturday night, but like in next big situation that Pena's up, we kind of, he's one of the guys that you feel good about on deck. It's Jeremy Pena. It's like, oh, we just need to get a hit and Pena will knock him in.
Yeah. I'm there now. I am there now. As far as other people giving credit for what happened on Saturday night, Mr. Cortez says, number one, Luis Garcia. Number two, Jeremy Pena. And number three, he has Lance McCullers. So if you want to join in on that, 713-780-3776. I also think you are a coward if you do not want the New York Yankees. The Dodgers are dead. It's a great day, right? It's going to get even better. You're going to laugh your ass off when you hear one of the worst sports takes that's ever been written. Of course, it came out of Los Angeles. It's coming up right here next on the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Don't go anywhere.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
One strike away. Hader to Freeman. He stepped away! For the first time in 24 years, the San Diego Padres are headed to the National League Championship Series!
I would have thought San Diego gives that many bleeps about anything sports related. But the Padres took down the LA Dodgers on Saturday, and that, my friends, was the best baseball moment of the weekend. I know, the Astros advanced to the ALCS, which is the first round of the playoffs, but the Dodgers losing, oh my God, give it all to me. 111 wins. What a great baseball team. It's a foregone conclusion that they'll be playing in the World Series, and they're dead. Oh, love it. How many Dodgers fans attacked themselves or a Padres fan on the way out of Petco Park to their cars? We may never know. What we do know is that Dave Roberts, manager of those Los Angeles Dodgers, is shocked.
Shock factor, very high. Disappointment, very high. It's crushing. You know, each guy gave everything they had all year long and a tremendous season. And the great thing about baseball is the unpredictability. And the tough thing about it is the same thing. Things could have gone either way today to impact the result of the game. It didn't. And we got beat in a series. So nothing I can say is going to make it feel any better. And obviously, we didn't expect to be in this position.
I have a friend who knows somebody in Los Angeles who is a Dodgers fan. And it was really funny to read the texts that he was sending to a text line full of Astros fans this weekend, because he's really trying to walk people through it. Hey, man, like, baseball's random as bleep. The Dodgers don't even try to win by outspending. We have the best farm system in the league, and more than half of our team are homegrown people or retreads that we reclaimed. The only free agent we signed was Freddie Freeman. Literally everyone else signed via trade or drafted. It's the Astros' title to lose now for sure, but again, baseball. And this, of course, led to some Astros fans saying, like, wait, the Dodgers are done? What's going on? Dodgers fan continuing to talk himself into it. Dodgers, Mets, Braves, clearly the best three teams in baseball all year out. Cold world. Can't read. We only finished 22 games better than the Padres in the regular season and only have like a .900 winning percentage against them the last five seasons. Pathetic. And then he starts rationalizing the fact that the Dodgers are spending more money than everybody. Yeah, we're top five in spending every year, but like, we don't really outspend anyone by a significant margin. The Mets were tops this year. We're not buying a championship in the traditional sense. We're just competing in the modern game. We're actually pretty conservative when it comes to free agents and trade deadline deals. Usually, our fans, writes this Dodgers fan, are always grumbling about it, actually. Very funny to see Dodgers fans walk themselves through it.
Well, they're definitely not buying a championship.
No.
Because they would have to actually
win
have a championship. Yeah.
Exactly, Sean. And the strike-shortened season... Shizhen. Wait a second. Strikes shortened Shizhen.
The COVID's shortened
the Shizhen. Pandemic shortened Shizhen. I don't know why I'm speaking like that all of a sudden. But in the pandemic shortened season, that's an asterisk. That doesn't count. Lakers title didn't count either. None of the LA titles counted. Huh. Oh, wait, the Rams won. We're going to forget about that one. Look, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen coming out of Los Angeles. And let's be honest. Like, Los Angeles, not a real sports town. No one actually cares. They care about the Lakers, but, I mean, the level of care is kind of amusing given that they think Russell Westbrook is still good at basketball and that this time with LeBron and Russell Westbrook, with Patrick Beverley aboard now and Anthony Davis, this time it's going to work out for the Lakers. Like, they're not very smart. But here is an article in the Los Angeles Times. The headline, commentary. The excruciating conclusion of the Dodgers' glorious season. If there ever was a case for canceling the playoffs and awarding a championship because one team was so clearly better than all the others, our 2022 Los Angeles Dodgers would be it. For the love of St. Vincent Scully, they won 22 more games than the second-place team in their division, which just isn't done. And that gets at the source of our angst as fans, the reason why so much of LA is collectively freaking out right now, lurching between paroxysms of elation and disappointment. Pause for a second. Shut up. Paroxysms. Shut up. Baseball writers are one thing, but writers, someone who has been told by an English teacher in 10th, 11th, or 12th grade that they're good at writing and starts using big words, those people are the absolute worst. The article continues. The Dodgers' success over a grinding six-month season
risks being tossed aside if they lose a best-of-five series to that second-place team, the San Diego Padres. It's akin to winning a 26.2-mile marathon by an hour, then having to beat the runner-ups at a 100-meter sprint to be declared champion.
Well, if you're good, I mean, you should be able to do that, right? You shouldn't be scared of competition. It's the playoffs.
And right now, with all those emotions built up over 6 months, are coming to a head with the Dodgers mired in San Diego. It's why some children might suddenly find their typically nurturing parents distant and unpredictable. Or why certain good sons start declining mom's calls after the first pitch. We're beside ourselves right now. I mean, they're beside themselves, that critical mass of Angelenos. It didn't always feel this way, with Dodger fandom so tightly wrapped up with winning. I don't remember much winning in those childhood days that turned me into a lifelong Dodgers fan, something that boggles the minds of my two oldest children, who have seen the Dodgers play in the World Series 3 of their 10 years of life.
They've won one title, and they're like, yeah, well, you know, we have different standards here now, but also since the Dodgers have the best record they've ever had, they should get the World Series so that we don't have to live with the defeat to the San Diego Padres, who are missing one of their best players because the guy is an idiot and got into a motorcycle accident this offseason.
And then got ringworm.
Yeah, that too. What was first, the ringworm or the motorcycle accident? I think it was the motorcycle accident,
then ringworm.
Yeah.
No, he had to take steroids to help cure.
Do Dodgers fans even register? I mean, they've been the most sensitive about it. I think it's seemingly Dodgers media more than anything that's been more whiny about what took place in 2017, like Bill Plaschke and some of the other guys that you'll see on Around the Horn. Do they even care that much about the Dodgers? Honestly, I do wonder about it. But this is a massive choke by them. Massive. And there is a part of me that honestly feels like they're cowards for losing. You have a responsibility to play the Astros in the World Series. At some point, you have to play them. You can't just keep running for the rest of your life. If you're going to keep on claiming that 2017 would have been different, you can never miss another World Series. You missed it. So, I mean, what's the spin zone here? What is the spin zone? Oh, well, we were the regular season champs. Okay. I mean, that's admirable. It's a noble attempt. What's the spin zone here? They are no longer allowed to complain about 2017. It is over. As of Saturday night, it is done. It is done forever. If you hear anybody whining about it, say, sorry, we made it to the first round of the playoffs. You didn't, despite having this amazing regular season record. You lost to a team that you owned. The Astros swept the team that they owned. That's what's been bothering me a lot about just the last couple of years, is that the Yankees and the Dodgers have complained and complained and complained. Take care of your own business. Stop worrying about the past. It's behind you. You have to get back and prove that what you have said in the past actually holds weight. Do you not have to face accountability for talking about it if you're Cody Bellinger, about how you were cheated in that World Series? Or if you're anybody else on that Dodgers team? You should have to face some sort of blowback for it. If you complain about that and you never get back and you never actually do overcome that team, then wasn't it all just a bunch of hot air? And that's why I'm looking at the Yankees and I'm saying, hey, you guys better win. And I want them to win tomorrow because I want the Astros to play them. I want the Astros to shut those losers up forever. Nothing would be more satisfying than to see some drunk loser wearing a Yankees button down with a wife beater underneath it and two gold chains that he can't afford, leaving from his 400-square-foot, $7,000-a-month apartment in the Bronx. I know, the Bronx, real estate that high, to go to that game, game three, game four, and to see that team get swept. What they have not been able to do is a major indictment on them, and yet they still, going into this year, we're complaining about 2017, something that took place 5 years ago. I need the Yankees to be in that series because I need the Astros to take them down. Because once the Astros take them down, it is over. They can't ever bitch about it again. They can't. And the Dodgers shouldn't be able to because they couldn't even get that far, which is pathetic. It really is. Loser fan's going to loser fan. I just want the Grim Reaper to come to those loser fans' places and to steal their souls. That's it. And the Dodgers stole that opportunity from us. We'll see if the Yankees do it tonight, too. 713-780-3776 to call, and you can text in, too, on the HRMP listener line. You can tweet us as well, at Gallant Says, or join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. There was another big move that took place in Houston sports this morning. Is it actually significant? Plus, confidence level. How are you feeling about your Houston Astros after they swept the Seattle Mariners over the weekend going forward? But first, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS Insurance. Guys, insurance rates are skyrocketing right now. This crazy inflation, thanks, insert you know who, has made everything more expensive, including your home policy. I'm hearing of customers who had 30, 40, even 50% increases before making the switch to TGS. Why do so many of our listeners switch to TGS? Because they make it so fast and so easy to save money. Their instant quoting system shops the market and delivers you savings in 15 seconds. You can't afford to wait any longer. The time to save is now. So grab your phone right now and text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask you for your address. Send that back and you'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. TGS now has over 2,000 five-star reviews, and their average customer from 2022 is still saving over $800 on their home insurance. Simple, fast, easy, big savings. That's the TGS insurance way. Let them work for you today. One more time, text money to 232323 to get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Well, the Astros an out away from punching a ticket again to the ALCS. Could end right here. Garcia deals. That ball's hit well to center, but right there. And Dubon puts it away, and the Houston Astros survive.
18 innings it took. I think a lot of us would have liked it to go a little bit quicker, and it's okay to feel that way. You don't have to have loved that game. It was a long one, and it was on a college football Saturday where Alabama got taken down by Tennessee. I think some of us wanted to watch that game a little bit more than the baseball game after a certain period of time. I think like the 12th inning, I was thinking to myself, you know what? I could use some football. I'm a football guy. I do like baseball, but I feel like more relieved than happy or excited or enthusiastic after that game ended. It just dragged on and on and on. Credit to the Astros, tough baseball team, outlasting another tough baseball team in Seattle. And I do think that we will be seeing that team for the next couple of years. I think that their fan base, and specifically those in Seattle media, need to calm down, though. Trash talk happens. You called the Astros cheaters. What do you think is going to happen in response? Oh, yeah, well, we are cheaters, and everything that we did doesn't matter. Anyone who told me that that World Series that I covered in 2017 didn't matter, then go eat rocks. Kick rocks? Eat rocks? I prefer eat rocks. Eat rocks. Okay? That was a significant moment in my broadcasting career. And probably the most emotionally invested I felt in any sports team that I cover. I've really come to just love watching this team. I like success. Am I a bandwagoner? Perhaps at this point in my life I am. I am totally okay with that. When a team is this damn good, how can you not jump aboard it? Six straight American League Championship Series. You can legitimately say that the first round of the playoffs begins now, and I love being able to say that again as someone who grew up rooting for the New England Patriots, who probably are never going to be that again. But I used to say that with the Patriots. Divisional round of the playoffs. That's the first round of the playoffs. Because it makes so many people pissed off. They're like, well, that's not true. That's not true. No, it is. It is true. You have a lower standard. It's fine. You're poor.
Also, you said it's not going to happen again for the Patriots? You see Bailey Zappe?
Nah.
You can sling it.
Stop.
HBU right there.
They played Cleveland. I'm not getting excited about that. I'm not even going to enable. You know what? I will say that, though. HBU, shout out to Houston Baptist. Okay? Where did he go after that?
Western Kentucky, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
yeah, whatever. Like, again, let's relax on that front, too. A couple of comments to address. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. This one from Pinche. We are winning the World Series. Put it on record. I forgot that Dave Roberts said that. March 24th. I forgot he said that. Yeah, I think we talked about that on this show.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I could find the clip of, you know, him saying, because he...
Definitely in our show rundown somewhere from some point.
Yeah, I remember he, like, it was really weird how he brought it up, too. He, like, was just like, I know what you're trying to ask. We are going to win the championship. It's like, what? Okay.
Yeah, well, you won the regular season championship, so...
I mean,
congratulations.
That is, I mean, that is better. I mean, I know we were making a lot of jokes about the writer for the LA Times. Brought up some good points.
Yeah, he did. He brought up some good points. Like, hey, having a lot of regular season wins is significant, especially when you do nothing in the playoffs because it makes you look like a bunch of choking dogs. So you'll remember this forever. The choking dog Los Angeles Dodgers, who lost to a team that they own in the regular season that was missing Fernando Tatis. You know, why didn't we have cut-ins to Dodgers regular season games as they were pursuing, you know, like the third best regular season record of all time? Why didn't we have that? They almost caught the Seattle Mariners record in 2001. Congratulations. Unbelievable. King of all Twitches says, easy on the Dodger hate. We ain't out of this yet. No, we made the playoffs. The Dodgers didn't. You could talk all that trash about the Dodgers right now. Maybe you're a little bit hesitant to do it with the New York Yankees or something like that. The Yankees are definitely turning this series against Cleveland into something it shouldn't be. Feel like you take a look at how this one's gone. They probably should have won game two before it escalated. Game three, they actually collapsed. Game three, it's hard to figure out how they blew that one on Saturday night. I mean, they had their closer available and they didn't use him. And then Aaron Boone after the game said, like, oh, yeah, well, like, we weren't going to use him tonight. And pretty much everyone in the Yankees clubhouse was like, wait, what? Hang on. We all thought he was going to go into the game. Their closer is Clay Holmes. And Clay Holmes thought he was going to go in. Luis Severino thought he was going to go in. And Aaron Boone was like, no, we're not using him today. What? It's a tie series. What are you doing?
Aaron Boone is like... It's such a joke of a manager. It's ridiculous.
So bad.
He is like the people that say like managers don't matter in baseball, which I agree with some part of it, but there is some important job of the duties that fall under that job. Aaron Boone's a very good point against that of like, actually it might not matter.
Cause yes.
This guy wins 100 games every year and he seems like kind of an idiot.
He really does. I mean, the game one and game two, they move Aaron Judge into the leadoff spot to the point where Alex Rodriguez is like, this is Mickey Mouse stuff. What are you doing? And he goes 0-for-8 with 7 strikeouts in the first two games. I do not understand the Aaron Boone experience. It's fun to watch. That's for damn sure.
Bring back Joe Girardi.
Yeah, bring him back. How long has he been gone? It's been like 4 years?
He got fired in 2017, or after the 2017 series.
Oh.
And then he managed the Phillies this year and then got fired. And then they immediately made the NLCS.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Yeah.
So not a good day to be a Yankee manager or an ex-Yankee manager. A couple of comments on the Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Show up in the third inning, says Styles Bong Hits. Get drunk, get in a fight, and post it on YouTube. Leave in the seventh inning. That is the Dodger fan way. Hell yeah. That's a life. Some of these are like influencer crowd fighters, right? I mean, there's got to be a market for that on the gram. Hey, it's me, Dodger Dave. When I'm not bringing a switchblade into Dodger Stadium, you can find me on my podcast, the Dodger Dave Podcast. We talk about the do's and don'ts of stalking somebody in a parking lot and hitting them in the head with a brick. You can find out how to commit assault and get away with it. Because in Los Angeles, you can get away with anything if you put your mind to it, thanks to local governance.
We also got some new merch. Pick up your Dodger Dave Switchblades at DodgerDaveSwitchblades.com.
Right.
Use promo code STAB.
Go Dog 01. I want the Yankees to lose tonight. I'm not afraid of Yankees. In fact, I suspect that Cleveland may match up better against the Astros. I just want the Yankees to lose as soon as possible. I want their fans up in arms. I want coaching trouble. I want the GM in trouble. I want them to suck. So, see, that's fair. He is a hateful man. He is not a coward, but you want the Yankees. We all want the Yankees. They need to play the Yankees. I need it. Personally, me, I need this.
Paul Gallant of the Paul Gallant Show needs it.
The content will be way better this week if the Yankees make it. I'm just saying.
And you'll be saying Indians for the next 2 weeks, and you cannot have that happen.
That's true. Thanks for reminding me. How many times have I done it today?
Too many to count. I think
so. Just once.
No.
Oh no. More.
Way more than that. You've called them the I words more than you've called them the Guardians.
I'm sorry. I just see that uniform out there. It's the same uniform as before, minus the logo, which I understand being problematic. Hey, speaking of problematic, Jack Easterby's gone. Hi-yo! I mean, that sounds like something right out of Jack Easterby's stand-up. Someone once put together a montage of Jack Easterby's worst bits, and then they put the Seinfeld laugh track under it. I think this was Rivers McCown on Twitter. I still go back and forth to watching this every now and then. So here's the best of Jack Easterby, you know, delivering, I guess, a sermon. I don't know. What was it?
You go up to New York, right? You go up to New York, and I mean, you walk in the stadium, and as soon as you walk in the stadium, what you looking at? What are you looking at? I'm looking at the game. I mean, there's a game. What are you looking at? What's up, kid? What you looking at, son? Not your kid, not your son. Just here for the game, brother. Like, chill out, man. It ain't that serious, right? And then where I'm at, like in Boston, right? Everybody says this phrase, and it's like, yo, we gotta go park the car. Like, we gotta do what? What are you talking about? We gotta go park the car. I'm like, what do you park the car? Like, it's an A, bro. Park the car.
I'll say this about Easterby. First off, shout out to all the real ones who know how to forge a resume. That's how you get by in life. Jack Easterby, very good at it. Second, I don't think he was a bad guy. But if you're looking for any reason to take the Texans less seriously, the fact that he rose to as much power as he had in that organization, I mean, that is just an entire indictment on what we've seen over the last couple of years. Symbolically, he is worse than I think he actually is physically at this point in time. And I don't think he's a bad guy. I want to say that one more time. But I also think he's full of it. And there's nothing worse than that. There's nothing worse than someone in a prominent position of power who's completely full of it.
Also, I think he resigned and he's going to spend more time working on his hour. And I think he's going to have a Netflix special coming up.
I'd watch it.
I mean, that park the car bit was pretty killer.
Cockies, dude.
Everyone walks up. Gotta park the car.
Fantastic. That is Sean Mapes. Big thanks to him. Big thanks to everyone who called in, who texted in, who twitched in. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. Killer Bees are next. Go Astros. They're on to the ALCS. We'll see who they're playing later on tonight.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.